Chapter 3, we've gone through four of the churches of Revelation, and we come to the church of Sardis. Sardis was 50 miles east of Smyrna. It was a city of great wealth. It was the capital of Lydia. It was in the middle of a very fertile valley, and it was situated on a very important highway, and so it was a very rich city in many ways. And it is something that we, as we read what the Lord has to say with Sardis, that in many ways it sends a chill through our spines. We just see how that even though they had a name, that they lived, that they were dead, and that it is something to really challenge us as well. So Revelation chapter 3 and verse 1, it says, "And unto the angel of the church in Sardis write, These things saith he that hath the seven spirits of God and the seven stars, I know thy works, that thou hast a name, that thou livest, and art dead. Be watchful and strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die, for I have not found thy works perfect before God. Remember therefore how thou hast received and heard, and hold fast and repent. If therefore thou shalt not watch, I will come on thee as a thief, and thou shalt not know what hour I will come upon thee. Thou hast a few names, even in Sardis, which have not defiled their garments, and they shall walk with me in white, for they are worthy. He that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment, and I will not blot out his name out of the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches." Let's pray. Dearly Father, we just thank you once again for this time we have to look into your word. We thank you for this passage that you wrote many years ago to the church of Sardis, Lord, a warning to them, a warning to us as well, Lord. We just pray that we would learn from their mistakes, Lord, and that you would help us to be faithful, Lord. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. And so the Lord speaks to Sardis, and with all of the other churches thus far, all of them have had something that God has commended them for, that he remembers their works, he knows what they had done, he was honoring them for that. But we see it's a very sad testimony of the church in Sardis. He said, "I know thy works, that thou hast a name, that thou livest and art dead." That they had a reputation as a good church, a church that was alive, but the fact is that they were dead inside, that they were still having services, they were still meeting together, they were still going through the motions, the programs, but something was missing. Something was gone. It was just as with a body without the spirit is dead, it's the same. That is, something was missing, that God's blessing wasn't upon them, that they'd lost sight of something long ago, and that as a congregation, that even though that they came there every Sunday, that it was something that something was missing. And it's just such a scary position to be in, especially the thought you have a name that thou livest, that probably it's kind of thought, well, everything's fine, but yet the Lord says, no, nothing is fine. Things are seriously wrong. There's something that has happened, that you've departed totally from where your whole purpose as a church, and you become something that you're not fulfilling your commission at all, that it's changed. And it is a sad thing to think of that, as that a church would have that even though it would be in existence, that it would be dead. And it's something, as a testimony throughout the ages of many churches, though, that they might exist, just because the doors are open doesn't mean that they're alive. And it's something that we want to take stock of that and examine ourselves in that we want to make sure that we have that freshness, that closeness to the Lord, that it isn't ever something that we get doing the motions, that it becomes such a ritual that we leave what is the essence of our spirituality, of our walk with the Lord. And we see what his command is, his warning to them. He says, "Be watchful and strengthen those things which remain that are ready to die, for I have not found thy works perfect before God." And you can think of it that this letter, you kind of feel sorry for the church of Sardis that sort of throughout history that they've been known as this church that had a name that lived, that they lived and was dead. But it was to be something that it was kind of just as with someone that's had a heart attack where they put the paddles on to shock them back to life, that this is what the Lord was hoping that this letter would do, the same thing, that it would shock them back, get them to realize where they were. He told them to be watchful, strengthen the things which remain, and that they get back on track. And we understand that that is something that as Christians that we are to be watchful. We are to be sober and vigilant, for our adversary the devil walketh about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. And we understand that the Lord could come at any moment, and we want to be ready. We see this in Mark chapter 13. If you turn there with me, Mark chapter 13, and this, of course, Jesus is speaking of the times of the end. And it says in Mark chapter 13, in verse 32, it says, "But of that day and that hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels which are in heaven, neither the Son, but the Father. Take ye heed, watch and pray, for ye know not what the time is. For the Son of Man is as a man taking a far journey, who left his house, and gave authority to his servants, and to every man his work, and commanded the porter to watch. Watch ye therefore, for ye know not when the master of the house cometh at evening, or at midnight, or at the cock crowing, or in the morning, lest coming suddenly he find you sleeping. And what I say unto you, I say unto all, watch." That we are to have that watchfulness in the Christian life, that we watch over ourselves, we watch over one another, that we do not allow the devil to lull us to sleep, to allow us to lose sight of what's important, lose sight of our goal. It says in 1 Thessalonians 5 verse 6, "Therefore let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober." And that we are to do that, that we're of the day, we're to put on the breastplate of faith and love, and for the helmet the hope of salvation, that we're to know the times, we're to know what's at stake, and that we're to live a life that is pleasing to Him. And He said that they needed to strengthen those things that remain, that there were some things that were still good, just as with someone that who's had a heart attack, their heart has stopped, that there's still much in that's worth saving, that they needed to be shocked back. And He's saying, "Well, strengthen these things that remain, that we need to bring these things back together again, that we realize that this was, their time was short, but He was giving them this chance to turn back to Him." And He said that their works weren't perfect before God, that it would seem, it says, "I know thy works," in the first verse, it seems that they did many different works, but they were not perfect before God, that even though they were doing what was right, it seems that they were not pleasing the Lord. Maybe they were done with the wrong heart, with the wrong motives. Maybe they were done to be seen of men for their own glory. We don't know exactly, but for whatever reason, the Lord said that these works that you do, that they're not perfect. And we think of that, how that our works will be judged at the judgment seat of Christ, that the Lord lays the foundation of our life, and then we build upon either gold, silver, precious stones, or wood, hay, and stubble. And that our works are going to be tried by fire. And that if they are those gold, silver, precious stones, they'll endure. They will continue on, and we'll be rewarded for them. But then there are those works that are going to be burned, that they're not for the right reasons, they're not for the right motives, they're not done with the right heart. And even though we think, "Well, Lord, I've done so much," but then they're burnt away and they seem to be nothing. And it's something that we want to realize, that we just activity does not mean spirituality necessarily, that we can be very busy, and yet if we're not doing it with God's power, not doing with His blessing, His guidance, we're doing it on our own, then it's not going to honor Him as it should. And so we see it in verse 3, it says, "Remember therefore how thou hast received and heard, and hold fast, and repent." And He told them to remember where they'd come from and get back to that point again. And that's something we realize as human beings, that we have a great ability to forget things. I know whether it's short-term memory loss or long-term memory loss, I know trying to remember a name from one second to another or an appointment, we forget so easily. But so often things that are very important that we lose sight of them, we get distracted, we get busy doing so many other things that we forget about that. And especially when things are going well, we realize it's a testimony of Scripture that men tend to forget the Lord when things go good. He warned them in Deuteronomy. He said, well, beware when you've entered into the promised land, you have all these blessings and you've eaten and art full, beware lest thou forget the Lord thy God that brought you into this. That it's so easy to do that. And it's exactly what happened with Sardis, that things been good, God had blessed them. We realized that the city was a very wealthy city, and it seems that maybe that materialism kind of started to work in the minds of the believers there and started to get them to get their eyes off of the Lord and what they were to do. And we see that again and again throughout the testimony of the Israelites, of how it speaks of in Psalm 106 of how Lord would deliver them and they'd be doing so great, and then they'd forget His works and they'd lust in the wilderness, and the Lord would have to send judgment, and Moses would pray for their intervention and they'd be delivered, but then they'd forget again. And so we realize that we're just as prone to that as any other person, and so we need to be watchful over our own hearts, that we need to remind ourselves, we need to remind one another that we can stay on the right track. And it's that thought, remember what they had received, that we understand that any church, it has its marching orders from the Scriptures, its purpose, its goal, what it's supposed to be doing. We have the Great Commission of going and teaching all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to observe all things whatsoever we have been commanded. That it's so easy to lose sight of what a church is for, that what its function is to be. That we see in our day and age that a church can just turn into a social club or a place to be entertained, but it is a place instead that we are to be edified, so that we can reach out to those around us, that we can make a difference in our community. And so he told them to remember what they'd received and heard, hold fast what was good, and they needed to repent that they had done wrong, that they needed to turn their direction around. That it wasn't that they were just a little bit off and they just kind of had to do things a little bit better. It was they had to make a complete 180 from the direction that they were going. That they were headed to their own destruction and they needed to come back. And he's warning them. He says, if you shall not watch, I will come on thee as a thief, and thou shalt not know what hour I will come upon thee. And he was giving them time to repent, but he wasn't guaranteeing them how much time they had. And we know that the Lord is very long-suffering. He's not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. He didn't want this church to continue on its path and just die and disintegrate. But it was something that they had to make the decision, make it quickly, that the time was short. And he said that he would come to them as a thief, and they wouldn't know what hour that he would come. And we see that principle in the end times. If you turn with me to Matthew chapter 24. Matthew chapter 24 and verse 42, the Lord Jesus speaks to His disciples. He says, watch therefore, for ye know not what hour your Lord doth come. But know this, that if the good man of the house had known and what watch the thief would come, he would have watched and would not have suffered his house to be broken up. Therefore be ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh. Who then is a faithful and wise servant, whom his Lord hath made ruler over his household, to give them meat in due season. Blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. Verily I say unto you, that he shall make him ruler over all his goods. But and if that evil servant shall say in his heart, my Lord delayeth his coming, and shall begin to smite his fellow servants, and to eat and drink with the drunken, the Lord of that servant shall come in a day when he looketh not for him, in an hour that he is not aware of, and shall cut him asunder, and point him his portion with the hypocrites. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. That we see that as Christians that we are to watch, that we are to be faithful, so that when the Lord comes that He would find us doing, that we do not put it off or procrastinate or say, well, I'll do it one day, but that we're doing it now. And it is that thought that we don't know what time we have left on this earth. The Lord could come back, or He might call us home, and we want to be faithful. We don't want to pass from this world with any regrets that, well, I meant to do this, but I never got around to it. That we want to do it now. That it is needful, and because we don't want to be ashamed, it is coming. And we see that even in this church that was dead, in the Lord's eyes, He said, verse 4, "Thou hast a few names, even in Sardis, which have not defiled their garments, and they shall walk with Me in white, for they are worthy." And that's something to see, even in this church that it was dead, it was dying, there were still a few people in there that were faithful, that they had stayed true to the Lord. And part of you wonder, well, why were they still there? Why didn't they abandon ship? But it was something that they were staying there, probably praying for their church, trying to bring it back, and they were being faithful. They were walking worthy of the Lord. And that's the thought as Christians, that we are to walk worthy of the vocation wherewith we are called, that they were doing what they could, and they were being faithful, that they were staying true, and they're setting a testimony for the others. And we see that the Lord honored them for that, that the Lord doesn't forget, the Lord doesn't ignore those that are doing right. We know that the Lord is just, that He does not judge the righteous with the wicked, that the Lord honors those that are doing what is right. And He sets them up as an example for these others to follow. And He says, "He that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment, and I will not blot out his name out of the book of life, but I will confess his name before My Father and before His angels." And that was the testimony that He had, that He would honor them that were going to follow Him. Those that overcome, those that turned around, those that started doing right, that He would bless them. That we see it spoken of that in 2 Timothy 2, verse 12, that if we deny Him, He will deny us. And yet, we understand if we confess Him, then He will confess us. He will delight to do so. We see this also in Matthew chapter 10. Matthew chapter 10, verse 32 and 33, it says, "Whosoever therefore shall confess Me before men, him will I confess also before My Father, which is in heaven. But whosoever shall deny Me before men, him will I also deny before My Father, which is in heaven." And so he was challenging them. He said, well, you need to get back on track, that you're in a serious situation. You're almost at the point of no return, but you still have a chance if you turn around, if you repent of your deeds, if you remember where you got off track, you get back on track again. That this church of Sardis could be restored to becoming a church that was alive once again. That you think of it, that this church, really it needed a resurrection. It needed a revival of it, that it had died, but yet the Lord could bring it back to life if they did what they were to do. And so it is a warning to them, a warning to every church, that it is something that we never take things for granted. We never get proud or anything like that, because we can realize how quickly we can turn aside from the truth. Because you think this church in Sardis, this would have been written probably in the late 90s, or in 90 AD, somewhere around that time, and the church was probably only in existence for 30 or 40 years, but it already had come to this point where it had gone to be this church that was stagnant and dead. But it had a chance to turn around once more. And he concludes, as he has with all the other churches, he said, "He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches." That all of us have an ear, and so all of us need to hear, to heed what the Lord has said, that we realize when the Lord pronounces judgment upon anyone else, it's so that we would be deterred as well, that we would see, well, I don't want this to happen to me. I want to take warning that we don't. It's something that we learn enough from our own mistakes that we don't want to have to repeat the mistakes of other people and other churches again and again, that we want to say, well, okay, I want to learn from this. I want to do differently. And Sardis Stand is a warning to any church that if we lose sight of where what our purpose is, where what we are to do as a church, that we can quickly become a church that's dead, that there's no life there, and it is a sad thing to see. And may the Lord help us that it would never be said of this church that we have a name, that we live and are dead. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you for this warning you have given to the church in Sardis, Lord. Pray that we would heed it as well. Just pray that you would help us to be faithful to you and to help us to remember, Lord, not to forget that we are to follow you faithfully, Lord, and stick true to what you would have us to do. We ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen. So let's turn one more hymn 406.